Good morning. Hope everyone is doing well on this cool and damp and brisk morning. Do we have any announcements that anyone would like to give? No? Okay, good. All right. Well, let's begin this morning with a reading from the Psalms.
I'll be reading Psalms 148, verses 1 to 14. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens.
Thank you.
now let us come together and in a moment of silence admit our sins to ourselves and to God. And now together, let us say, Father, we bring our sins to you, things we have done, things we have not done, things we will not admit to ourselves. Help us to see ourselves clearly and forgive ourselves as you forgive us, and help us to give this grace to others. Help us to take you at your word and be at peace. We receive assurance in baptism. Baptism is a new beginning. At our baptism, we are renewed and made fit to be a member of the family of God and to begin our ministry and to begin the work of God. Be assured through the symbol of baptism that you have been renewed and that God is with you. And let us affirm our faith. We trust in God and believe Him when He says that we are forgiven and He will not remember our sins. Let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Share God's shalom with one another.
Morning. We're reading this morning from Colossians 3, 12 through 17, 1167 in your pew Bible. I still keep asking for Jesus wept, but I never get that.
That's the only one I have memorized.
So. Me too. You know there's another verse in there, there's two words in the Bible. We ran across it in Sunday school. I can't remember what it was, but we ran across it in Sunday school. Conversation here. Excuse me. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love with which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will the children and youth come forward?
What'd you do?
All right, good morning. Okay, today I want to talk about two things. The first thing I need is someone to tell me what the word responsibility means. What does responsibility mean? Yeah, let's start. I don't know if we'll get a good definition, so we'll let everybody go. What do you think, Ben?
It's something that you have to do.
Okay, something you have to do, okay? Okay, Mia? You're supposed to do, okay? Anybody else? So we looked up the dictionary definition. It's something you have a moral obligation to do. So yeah, something you should do, something you're committed to do, definitely. Okay? The second thing we want to talk about today is the mother of Jesus. Who was the mother of Jesus? Yeah, Sam? Mary. Okay? Now, God gave Mary a big responsibility, right? He gave her the responsibility of looking after Jesus as he was growing up, right? And that's what the same responsibility that your parents have. But what are some other responsibilities that you guys have? What are some responsibilities you have? Yeah. Clean your room.
Having to go to school.
Going to school is a big responsibility. Yeah. Sam, did you ever... Feeding your cat definitely is a big responsibility. These things that you're obligated to do. Now, Mary was older than you guys, but not by too much. But God gives us responsibilities as well. What are some responsibilities that you think God gives us? Yeah, Mia?
To do good.
Yeah, to do good.
Go to church,
yeah. Do you have one, Ben? No. Yeah, to follow his commandments, to love each other, all these awesome things are the same responsibilities. Just like God gave Mary a big responsibility, he gives all of us responsibilities to love each other, to take care of each other, to take care of this earth that he's given us, definitely. Okay, so you can think about all these responsibilities that you have at your house, but also those that God's given you. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for giving us responsibilities. Help us to follow you in all that we do. In your name we pray. All right, we do have children's church today, so if you'd like to join us upstairs, we're going to talk more about responsibility. Otherwise, you can go back to the nursery, or you can go back and sit where you were.
It's hard to imagine, as Graham points out, that Mary wasn't that much older than some of them sitting up there at the time when she had Jesus. Our scripture, our other scripture reading today, is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. And this is on page 1015 in your pew Bible, and it's subtitled, The Boy Jesus at the Temple. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know they had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. It's the word of God for the people of God. One of the most popular, if not the most popular, sacred Christmas song to come out in recent years is a song, Mary, Did You Know?, written by Mark Lowry and Buddy Green. Mark Lowry was thinking about Mary and the Christmas story and the birth of Jesus and whether or not she really realized who Jesus was as she held this baby. He wrote down his questions in the form of a poem and gave them to his friend Buddy Green. His friend promptly put it away for a couple of years, remembered it and got back to it and wrote some music. And then the song, Mary, Did You Know?, was born. It's been sung many times by many different artists and many people, and as far as I can recall, is the only new music that references Jesus, or new Christmas song that references Jesus, that's come along in a long time. The other biggest recent hit, if you want to know, is All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. And I'm told that if she'd never written another thing in her life, she could live very comfortably off that for the rest of her life. But Mary, Did You Know? Is a more of a religious song, and Mark Lowry has probably done well with it as well. Mark asks in the song, is at the moment of Jesus' birth, Mary, did you know? Did you know that this baby would one day walk on water? Did you know that this baby would save our sons and daughters? Did you know this baby would give sight to a blind man, calm a storm with his hand, or that he had walked where the angels had trod? Did you know that you'd kiss the face of God? We don't really know. How can we try to answer Mark's question? We must turn to the scripture for answers. All else is speculation. Speculation is fun, and I'll do a little bit of that in a while. The Gospel of Mark tells us nothing about Jesus' birth. It starts with Jesus' baptism and begins his ministry at the age of 30. Mark is the shortest gospel and is always direct and to the point. If we only had the Gospel of Mark, there would be no Christmas story at all. The Gospel of John is a little better and offers a little information. It starts just before Jesus' ministry and is considered a more mystical gospel and explains that Jesus was the Word, and the Word came to earth and became flesh and dwelt among us, and then we start into Jesus' ministry. We get a little more information from Matthew. Matthew is better, but he's still sort of the Cliff Notes version of the Christmas story that we know. He briefly tells us, Mary was found pregnant by the Holy Spirit as a virgin. An angel appeared to Joseph, told him not to divorce Mary, that this was all of God. We don't have anything about what Mary thought or knew, or no indication that anyone told Mary anything except just Mary suddenly found herself pregnant and not knowing why. The wise men do come, leave gifts, and depart. There's no details about the wise men's visit other than that. Joseph has a visitation in a dream that tells him to take his family, flee to Egypt, and then later tells him to return back. And then we go into Jesus' ministry. So there is sort of the Christmas story, but it'd be very short. No details. We don't hear from Mary. He gives us no clue as to what Mary was thinking. It's a little better, but still not good enough. This brings us then to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke is where we get most of our traditional Christmas story with all its pageantry. Interestingly, though, Luke does not mention the wise men at all. The wise men come from Matthew. So the Christmas story as we know it is a mix of the two. But the majority of it is in the Gospel of Luke. Luke is where we get some indication as to what Mary thought or what Mary was going through. Luke is where we find the Magnificat, which is the name given to the song of Mary, where she responds to the angel Gabriel after he tells her what is going to happen. In Luke, Mary has a direct vision or visitation from the angel Gabriel and a conversation with the angel. He tells her her baby is going to be the son of the highest, will be given the throne of David and reign forever. Then the baby is born. Then Luke tells us later, when Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth while she is pregnant, Elizabeth is pregnant with the baby John the Baptist. And the baby John the Baptist is said to have leapt in the womb at the nearness of the baby Jesus. Luke also tells us that when the baby Jesus was born, the angels appeared to shepherds in the fields and they went to Bethlehem and spread the news. Then at Jesus' circumcision, Simeon tells Mary that Jesus will cause the rise and fall of many in Israel and be a sign which will be spoken against, and that the sword will pierce Mary's heart. After that, there's a gap in Scripture for 12 years. So Luke does give us some indication of what Mary was thinking and how she responded. In the Magnificat, Mary praises God and basically says, I'm your servant, let your will be done. So we know that she had a very good idea that something not normal was happening and that Jesus was a very special person and that great things were going to happen and that this was of God. But we have no indication that Mary really knew exactly who Jesus was or that there would be miracles or anything of that sort. The next time Mary and Jesus appear in Scripture and interact is 12 years later in the Scripture of today. The Scripture of today is in many ways very simple. Mary and Joseph follow the law and the custom. If you're a good observant Jew, every Passover, which is roughly, I believe, in March on our calendar now, you go to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, which is interesting because when Scripture comes in and Jesus is often called the Passover lamb, or the Jews had Passover, and they would sacrifice a lamb and put the blood on the door, and the angel of death would pass over. We don't do that anymore because Jesus is the angel or the lamb of God that was sacrificed for us, so we no longer have to sacrifice a lamb. So Jesus, who is going to be our Passover, appears to us again in Jerusalem at Passover. We can tell from the text and the records that they travel in a large family group. We read a little while ago, they said that Mary was going to look for them amongst family and friends. So before we become too harsh with Mary and Joseph, helicopter parenting, I guess, wasn't necessarily the style as it is in many cases today. You don't know where your kid is exactly at every moment. We don't have the cell phones. It would be more like, I guess, I'll just speak from my experience where I grew up, where you go disappear for a while. I'm going outside. Okay, see you later. And you come back at dark. And your mother doesn't know exactly where you are. Maybe you're with friends. Maybe you're with your cousin down the road. So it wasn't uncommon for them to travel in large groups. And they probably thought Jesus just left with his aunt or his uncle or his cousin or a friend and was coming along in the big group. At some point, though, they realized that he's not around. Maybe they went to visit and walk around and I said, how's Jesus doing? Have you seen Jesus? And someone said, no, we don't. He's not with us. Well, he's not with us. Then they realized, oh my goodness, he's not here. So they go back to Jerusalem to look for him. Can you imagine? You have to be frantic when you lose a child. You can lose your keys, you can lose your cell phone, or you can lose Jesus. Can you imagine going down in history as the person that lost Jesus? So when they did find him, he was in the temple at the age of 12, discussing scripture with the rabbis. The rabbis, they said, were astonished at his knowledge. As far as we know, Jesus had no special formal education that qualified him to do this. He had was not brought up in a family that perhaps was that well-versed in the scripture enough to be a rabbi or a Pharisee. So this, what this does is gives us an indication, again, that Jesus appears to us at the age of 12 with this knowledge and tells us that he was special, that there was no human way that Jesus could have known what he knew to discuss with these people. When Mary arrived, she asked him, basically, we're worried sick. How could you do this to us? And he responds with what seems, in a certain way, almost a smart-aleck answer. Jesus says, to paraphrase, you should have known I was going to be here. Don't you know? Why are you bothered? Why are you worried? But Luke tells us Mary did not understand why he said that. But basically they said, well, okay, but we're going to leave now. And it says Jesus was obedient to them and followed and went along. And he doesn't appear again in Scripture until the age of 30, 18 years later. So from all this, how can we answer our question? What did Mary know? Certainly she knew that Jesus was someone very special. She knew that maybe, at least even maybe, was a prophet. Probably, given the context of the day and the understanding of the Hebrew scriptures that they had at the time, she may have thought he was the Messiah. Not in the sense of the word that we use, Messiah. At that time, the Jews were looking for a Messiah more as a political leader, a general or revolutionary that would come to overthrow the Romans and restore David's throne and the independence of the kingdom of Israel and allow them to practice their religion freely and to rule themselves. If you look later in Scripture, Peter and several of the disciples were zealots. These were people that were committed to overthrowing the Romans using force. If you remember, Peter in the Scripture in the garden has a knife handy and whips out his knife and cuts off the ear of the guard. Peter and the zealots were armed men who believed in violent revolution. So when they looked for a Messiah, they looked for a leader who was going to lead the army and lead the revolt. So in the context of what Mary knew at the time, it would be natural for her to think that Jesus maybe was the Messiah that they expected. Maybe he was going to be a powerful leader to lead the people, someone who would drive out the Romans and restore the throne of David. Probably, she did not expect him to do what he did or to be what he was. Most of his disciples, if you look later, didn't understand or expect him to be who he was or to do what he was. Jesus was continually exasperated that they didn't understand what he was really getting at. We don't know what happened during the 12-year gap between Jesus' birth and the Scripture. Scripture doesn't tell us anything about what Mary may have learned about Jesus or what life with Jesus was like. Speculation is fascinating. Jesus came to earth to experience human life. The Bible tells us he was sinless. But if he was human, how many of those ordinary moments that parents and children have did he go through? Most of you here have had children or raised children or are raising children. So you can imagine, were there days when Jesus was sick, when you had to comfort Jesus, try to make him well? Were there days when Jesus had problems with his friends and you didn't know what to do? You try to give Jesus some advice, maybe, about his friends. Were there times when Jesus was having a really bad day and you were getting exasperated? Maybe Jesus really, as they say, got on his mother's nerves at times. And maybe during a moment of bad temper, she yelled at Jesus. And then sometimes, as we do, you think back on it and you regret it. And you think, what did I just do? You can yell at your own child, but you can imagine Mary, knowing what she did know about him, I just yelled at Jesus. Did she put Jesus in a corner? How did they handle Jesus? Mary lived with Jesus every day. She had a great deal of knowledge given to her at the beginning, a little in the middle, but we don't know what knowledge she had. She earned knowledge with Jesus in living with him. But as Luke still tells us later, she still did not fully understand who Jesus really was. So I'd have to say the answer to the question, Mary, did you know, is probably. We get answers sometimes at my work when I ask for an answer to a question. They say, it depends. Case-by-case basis. So in this case, I'll have to say, it depends. We can be sure that Mary knew Jesus was special. We can be sure that she knew he was going to do great things. It is likely she didn't know he was going to do the things that Mark Lowry asked. As likely as she held Jesus, she knew something amazing and incredible was happening, but she probably had no idea who Jesus fully was and the things that he was going to do. Today, you and I have more knowledge than Mary had at the time. We have the full story of Jesus. We have the complete story of his life. We have been told who he is. As we look at the lectionary, and when I look at the lectionary to do a sermon, I sometimes wonder how Scripture fits together. Why do they choose this verse, and why do they put this one with this other verse? This one today, when I looked at it, I thought, wow, oh great, this is really short. Seems very straightforward. I don't know what to say about this. And then they put the verse from Colossians in that James read. And after studying this, I realized, hopefully I understand why they put Colossians and that verse with this. We have Jesus with us every day like Mary did. We have the knowledge of Jesus' life and who Jesus is. So I put the question to you, do you know, do you really know who Jesus is? And if you know, what are you going to do with Jesus? How are you going to handle Jesus? The writer of Colossians gives us a clue. It gives us a beginning. It's a good start. But as we go throughout the week and as we begin this year coming up, ask yourself, do you really know who Jesus is? And if you know, what are you going to do with him? So we're here together this morning. As we have time to share our concerns and joys with each other. Anybody have anything? Any new concerns, prayer requests? Yes. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Jean. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? All right, let's come together in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can be here today, together and to worship you and to come before you to petition you in prayer. We ask that you be with Vera and Jim Smith, who have been sick, that you will heal them, give them peace and rest. We ask that you remember little Samuel, who has cancer, someone so young. Be with him, and we ask that you heal him and to give comfort to his family and his parents and be with them as well as they go through this. We ask that you be with Lori Parker, who has been sick and has been in pain, that you heal her and give her peace. We ask that you be with Carolyn Bailey as she goes through procedure and allow her to be calm and to go through it well without any side effects or any pain. We ask that you also be with Christy and Matt as they foster a new child and take on the responsibility of another life, and that they be able to keep this child and that things go well for them. And we ask that you be with all people who are sick or in want today, and those who are facing problems and decisions. And we thank you for our many blessings as well for this past Christmas season. So many of us have been able to experience the joys of family and the joy of giving and the many blessings that we have. We know that for good or bad, for good or ill, whatever we experience, you are with us through it and you will carry us through it, and that our end is always to be with you. And Father, we ask it in your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us bring our tithes and offerings into God's storehouse.
Thank you.
God, thank you for your gifts and all that we have. Help us to remember that all we have comes from you and returns to you. And now, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.